We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The story, of course, revolves around the fact that they're having OTAs and Julio Jones is not there and everybody trying to make a big deal out of this. I don't personally think it's a big deal at all. Dan Quinn's talking to Julio on a daily basis. Julio's working out in Tuscaloosa. Everybody knows what's going on and whether or not Julio wants to get a new deal done. Ian Rappaport, who broke the story, went on Dukes and Bell last night, and Rappaport talked about the Falcons and Julio.
I don't think anything is wrong with Julio, okay? I mean, I think Julio's fine. I think in the Falcons organization, he's still the guy. He's still the dude. I don't think this paints him in a negative light at all. I think this kind of just makes him like the rest of us. I mean, remember, he signed a contract, a really good contract when he signed it, but it was one of the earliest of the good receiver contracts. You know, it was A.J. Green signed after him, for instance. So when you sign earliest, you get the least because you're first. You know, he's made his message clear in a pretty professional way. No one's angry at him. He just wants what he deserves, and the thing about it is he really does deserve it.
Well, he is the eighth highest paid wide receiver in terms of total deal right now this year, the 12th highest paid wide receiver in terms of just the money he is slated to make this year. Again, you know, Julio working out on his own, to me, is no big deal. Yes, I mean, you'd like to have him there because you'd like to have that synergy, that stuff. And people are making a lot about a couple of things on social media. The way this broke, and again, we go back to that when Julio took his Falcons pictures off his social media, which, frankly, at the time, I wasn't sure what it was about, but I didn't think it was a big deal. But apparently some people think now it is a big deal, Hugh.
There's something there, John. I mean, you know what's funny about this story? It's a big deal for Tom Brady not to be there, but it's not a big deal for Julio not to be in camp. And both of these players are game changers, could potentially be game changers, especially Tom Brady. So I think that he should be in OTAs. I don't think he was there that much last year because of the injury thing, but he was there in the building. Probably wasn't on the field, but he was in the building. So this is an issue. This is an issue. And I know that we're trying to downplay it, but there's something there. And I know that the report says that the Falcons are going to come out and they're willing to renegotiate the contract. And like Joe said, Joe told us earlier today that most teams don't do that. I mean, that's something that they don't want to establish that precedent. Joe Corey, and they don't want to establish that precedent knowing that they have to sign all these other players because now you're going to get guys that are going to go back in there and they're going to try to get some more money. So if this is the case for Julio Jones and the Falcons have agreed to do this, God bless them, because that normally does not happen in the NFL. Teams normally don't say it with 3 years left on their deal that, okay, cool, you want some more money, you know what? We agree. We're going to give you some more money. It doesn't work like that. It really doesn't.
Hugh was talking about here was Joel Corey, who is of CBS Sports, was on with us in the last hour. If you missed the interview, he did say, and this will recap just what Hugh said here, and what Joel Corey was making an extreme point here that, you know, the Falcons are probably talking to him about a lot of things, but reworking the deal, probably not one of them.
Well, teams just don't rip up deals and renegotiate them, particularly 3 years left. What they typically do is they extend them out for a couple more years, and you're going to redistribute money, put new money in the existing years, and there's going to be new money going into the new years. But with 3 years left, that's a dicey proposition. I've been in that situation before when I was an agent trying to get a team to do something with a guy with 3 years left. So if Julio Jones wants a new contract, he wants them to pay him at the top of the receiver market, where you add 2, 3, 4 new years, good luck with that, because you got other guys you need to address who are more pressing.
Yeah, the other guys being guys like Grady Jarrett, Jake Matthews, and whatnot. But Joel went on to say what you could do is not, you know, renegotiate a contract, but reconstruct the current contract, for lack of a better term, Hugh, which is in the past what other guys have done, other players, you take money from, like, and you mentioned Le'Veon Bell expressly, is you take money from year two or – what would amount to year two from next year and place it into this year, turning it into a signing bonus. That's why these capologists have to earn their money. And that the Falcons likely could do that, and they're just in the process of negotiating that. He'd make more money this year. The Falcons could clear money out through their cap. It's just all this finagling that goes on. You're not really paying him anymore. You're just reworking the deal.
Yeah, but again, this all this story is speculative, and we don't know what Julio Jones is asking for. See, we've already gotten to the point where, okay, the deal is done. We're just going to give him some more money. Julio might be asking to be the number one paid receiver, and he might be asking for some more money that's not currently in his deal. We don't know. We don't know how bad this could potentially be. We don't even know for a fact if the Falcons have truly agreed to renegotiate his contract. We don't know. We're all speculating at this point.
Yeah, well, and we are all speculating at this point because we don't know about the details here. But I'll make it about myself. I'm going to run with the fact the team and Julio are going to work this out, and it's all going to be fine. He'll be here for the mandatory minicamp in mid-June, and all things will be good. Until otherwise, I'm going to believe that because, I think one of the things I saw on my Twitter over the last day or so have been a lot of people saying, well, you know, you drafted Calvin Ridley in order to replace Julio. Well, if that's the case, when you drafted Julio to replace Roddy, we're talking about 2 to 3, 4 years from now. We're not talking about now. Because I think the whole point of drafting Calvin Ridley is if you look at the Falcons roster and see Matt Ryan at quarterback, your running backs are Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman, and your top three wideouts are Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu, and Calvin Ridley, I would put those three wideouts, those two running backs, quarterback as a group, up against any team in the NFL.
I would agree, but let's be real, John, and let's be honest. When we were talking about this draft and we were talking about what the Falcons needed, receiver was not high on the list. We all adjusted that after they got Calvin Ridley and we started to, you know, be okay with it. But initially, we all were looking at D tackles. We were all looking at D tackles. And you know, I know that we're trying to, like, put out fires and not speculate or anything like that, but let's be honest. When Julio Jones changes his social media and he takes off pictures and then the Falcons draft the receiver and then we hear stories from one reporter that says Julio Jones wants more money, then there's a lot there that you can speculate about. And to be honest, nobody has come out and disputed any of this. Nobody has come out and disputed anything. Nobody's come out and said, hey, you know, for sure, yeah, we're going to renegotiate Julio's contract or we're not. Julio Jones hasn't said anything. So I think there's still something there. There potentially is still something there. I know we all hope that, you know, nothing's going to happen this season and that, you know, Julio Jones is going to come in and everything is going to be okay. But that might not be the case. You got to prepare for the worst case scenario.
Well, the only person probably going to say anything would be Jimmy Sexton. He's Julio's agent, unless Julio himself says something, because we know the team is not going to say anything. We know that. The team is going to be...
Depends on how bad this gets. If it gets bad. If it gets bad. It all depends.
Well, if it got bad, it would be a crying shame. I mean, that's all I could say.
It would be a crying shame. That's funny. It would be unfortunate. It would be very, very unfortunate that it went down the way that it did, because... Number one, this doesn't seem Julio-esque
right. When
you look at it.
Right.
But if Julio's feeling like he's underpaid, then, you know, I mean, get what you can as quickly as possible. I'm never mad at a player for trying to get his money. I just think that the timing is a little off when you look at the season that he's coming off of, those three touchdowns, you know, a ton of yards, 88 receptions, like damn near 1,500 yards receptions. I mean, yards, but in 88 receptions. But still, this timing is off because you only got those three touchdowns. So I don't think that he really has a leg to stand on. But if the reports are true and the Falcons are willing to renegotiate, then, hey, God bless Julio and get all the money that you possibly can.
You know, I guess my expectation for this year is that this offense – here's my expectation for the offense this year, that it's going to be – we're talking about Julio Jones with the contract on the morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game this morning with Falcons OTAs going on again today. And the team will be talking and addressing the media. I'm sure that Julio is going to be a topic. And tomorrow, and Hugh and I will be up there tomorrow at Flowery Branch, NFL meetings going on and all that kind of good stuff. My expectation of this offense, and I just went down the list, you think Matt Ryan at quarterback, you locked him up, you've got Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman, and then three wideouts now with Julio Jones, Mohamed Sanu, and Calvin Ridley, and I think the plan all along was for that to be kind of the core of your offense and see where you go from there. And of course, Austin Hooper, a tight end, but we have to see him step his game up, and I think he knows that. But I think when you look at the wide receivers, the whole plan here was to improve this offense by getting that speed guy in Ridley, who was going to be kind of that dynamic game changer in terms of the deep go routes and allow. Ridley's a bigger, stronger guy with great hands, and he can run those little digs and those little crossing patterns too. And so you have all sorts of options with those three guys that make it really difficult for defensive coordinators of other teams to try to game plan, especially when all three are in the game.
I agree. Or you could take this route and that maybe that they drafted Calvin Ridley because eventually they're going to move on from Julio. And Julio might not factor that much into this offense this year, especially since, you know, there were times in the offense last year that he came up short. Regardless of what anybody, any speculation or anything that anybody wants to say, whether or not the offensive line did their job or Matt Ryan did this, that, or third, there were times on the field where Julio Jones was a non-factor when he should have been a huge factor.
Or even wasn't even on the field.
Yeah. And another thing, John, is all of a sudden, Julio Jones, how does Julio Jones jump from being the priority when I think Thomas Dimitroff said it on this show that Grady Jarrett and somebody else was priority for this team right now. Jake Matthews and Grady Jarrett were a priority for this, had a brain freeze for a minute. Jake Matthews was a priority and Grady Jarrett. So now you're talking about those two guys are a priority, but all of a sudden, since Julio wants more money, he's going to jump to the front of the line. I don't see that. If they do it, then hey, they must have a master plan to get it done. But I don't see that happening. The more and more I think about it, I definitely don't see that happening. So the more and more I think about it, I don't think if this is the case, if this is what Julio wants, this is not going to play out well.
Well, I tell you what might play out well: you winning $1,000.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
alien. Great film. Sigourney Weaver, 1979. You have till 9:59 to text the word alien, A-L-I-E-N, to 72881. That's alien to 72881. Alien to 72881. Do not text and drive. A message of data rates may apply. That's alien to 72881. That is the word for the hour in the national signing bonus, alien in 72881. I went to the theater, Hugh. I had no idea in 1979 what I was going to see with Alien. I thought it was going to be E.T.
It was cutting edge.
Man.
Why did somebody say Brandon Chastain's plaque looked like Randy Cross?
Oh, you know, come on, stop.
They put Randy Cross in the Hall of Fame. That's awesome. That is a bad plaque, though. But yeah, Alien was a good movie too, John. Alien was a heck of a movie. It was a scary movie. It's still scary. Have you seen the new one, Covenant?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was pretty scary.
No, the Alien 3 stunk. That was the prison one, but Alien
that was pretty good. It wasn't as in your face kind of scary like the other ones were. But the new Covenant one, he went back to his roots with that one.
Yeah. No. I'm a fan of the Alien series ever since it first came out. I can't believe that was 1979. Oh, my God.
Somebody said it looked like William Devane.
Oh, geez. Is she going to start doing commercials now? You know, and they could have made it so easy. You're right. I mean, all they could have done with the stupid plaque is just take a picture of her. What's this? Everybody thinks the same thing of Brandi Chastain. We're talking about this is another story we were doing today. She got a plaque at the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame, and it's just the picture, and we've tweeted it out on Hugh's Twitter, my Twitter, the 92.9. The picture is just awful of her. I mean, the bronze is just disgustingly bad. You just use a photo. What does everybody know of Brandi Chastain sliding on her knees with her, waving her shirt in the air with her top off after scoring the penalty kick that won the Women's World Cup against the Chinese? It's one of those great moments in American sports history.
Yeah, and they made her look like a dude with a bad haircut.
And she's forced to stand there and smile and do a thumbs up. Hey, this,
she's the real MVP.
Poor woman. The NFL's here in town. Morning to you, Roger. Rise and shine. A lot of big news is going to be breaking out of Buckhead.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen and win.
The Game's National Signing Bonus.
This is huge. We're giving away over $250,000. A chance to win a grand.
You just won $1,000.
12 times a day on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is the morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game from the Kia Studios. Rick and John chatting it up. Always gets lively out there during this time of the morning when Rick and John roll in and start holding fort out there in their show prep. Because Campbell always comes in so fired up about something we said in the morning. It's always a lively time. Of course, it's going to be a very interesting couple of days in Buckhead with the NFL meetings going on, Roger Goodell and all the owners and whatnot. We've talked about some of the big issues that they're going to be voting on, the rubber stamp of the sale of the Carolina Panthers to David Tepper, which will keep the Panthers in Charlotte for a number of years. I think the biggest question they're going to face going forward as a franchise, Hugh, will be new stadium, because there's going to be a call for it. There's going to be a call
really?
For new stadium.
I don't think anytime soon. I think the stadium they're in right now is fairly new, isn't it? What, 10 years? It's not that old. Yeah, the Panther Stadium. Yeah, Bo, how old is the Panther Stadium?
Well, I believe the Panther Stadium, which is Bank of America Field, was created or was built when they opened up, which was probably around 96, I believe, was their first year. 95, 96 was Panthers' first year, so yes. That would make it around 22 years old, Hugh.
Okay. Well, that's still young. You're just old enough to drink if you were a child. That's not bad. I don't think it's a pressing need to build a stadium right away, but I see your point. But I don't think that's going to come for at least a couple more years.
Yeah, no, and that'll be the future. I mean, because the NFL demands that if you want to have a Super Bowl, it's almost like anymore, if you want to have a Super Bowl, you almost have to have a new stadium, unless you're Tampa or Miami. I mean, because they get it just because they are Tampa, Miami. I mean, New Orleans had to – let's not understand. Well, New Orleans didn't get a new stadium, and they just got another Super Bowl. Remember, New Orleans – did spend about, I think, $400 million to upgrade the Louisiana Superdome down there. So, you know, I mean, you got to put money into the stadium. And whether they'll play an outdoor Super Bowl in north of Florida or east of California, I don't know. Maybe they would.
Play the outdoor Super Bowl up north.
Yeah, I know.
Jets.
I know.
I mean, I think when you did that, when you had the Super Bowl in New York, come on, man, you threw all that out the window, the weather thing and all that other stuff. Then you went to Minnesota. Granted, it was a dome, but still, you went to Minnesota, and people complained about the weather. They complained about how cold it was up there. Like, it was no joke. It was no joke.
So that's one issue. And, yes, two new Super Bowls have been awarded to the NFL. Arizona got one of them, and Swamp People got the other. Those are Super Bowls. Those happened yesterday, Super Bowls 57 and 58. And we only know this because we'll have 53 here this year, then Miami gets 54, Tampa 55, Los Angeles 56, now Arizona 57, and down on the Swamp for 58. That's 2024. Looking on and projecting out, I think you could see another Super Bowl being awarded to Atlanta in the not-too-distant future after that, 2027 maybe, somewhere around there.
I tell you what, with the owners and everything being here right now, that is something that probably is up for discussion. Like, the venue is lovely. I mean, it's phenomenal. Phenomenal venue. I think the biggest thing would be that they're talking about would probably be, you know, access to the stadium, hotel accommodations around the stadium. Because I'm assuming that the teams won't be in downtown Atlanta. They will definitely not be in downtown Atlanta. They'll probably be maybe by the airport, maybe out in Suwannee somewhere. Somewhere, they would not be this close. They might even be out there by what's that? I just had it on the where's the wine place at? Everybody go Chateau Elan. Yeah, hey, it came to me.
Want to be near? I guess you want to be near where you're going to practice, right?
Yeah, you want to do that on that. I mean, yeah, because you definitely don't want to be in the city. So they'll probably look at all that. Yeah, it's a good chance that could happen, and potentially, you know, more hotels and stuff being built here real soon. So yeah, not a problem.
Yeah, no. When you built Mercedes-Benz Stadium, you built it for multiple Super Bowls, you know, in its lifetime, like four, and for multiple Final Fours, and for multiple national championship games, and for the World Cup, and you build it for multiple major events, and over the lifetime of that particular stadium, over the next, say, 35, 40 years, I would imagine you're going to have far more, you're going to have NBA All-Star games. We know you're having the MLS All-Star game. There are going to be a lot of major events in and around Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and that's just, that's why you build it and what it's for. I said multiple Final Fours. Let me correct that. NCAA is hinting strongly that they're going to stop using domes for the NCAA tournament and go back to basketball stadiums. So that is something that I think that a lot of basketball fans would like to see anyway, and stop using these dome stadiums. All right, we're talking about the NFL meetings here and some of the other headlines that are going on in the NFL. We mentioned Julio we've been talking about it ad nauseum, not being at OTAs. Brady's not at OTAs. Gronk's not at OTAs. Le'Veon Bell's not at OTAs. They're all skipping out on OTAs. I guess it's not a surprise that Le'Veon Bell is playing this card again, because he's just he has had this boy, you want to talk about a fractured relationship. That guy and that team over the last 2+ years, those two, Le'Veon Bell and the Steelers.
Well, they just don't want to pay him what he wants. I mean, and that's the nature of the beast. And that's normally, to be honest, John, that's normally how it goes, especially when you're trying to strong arm the organization. Because they don't want to establish a precedent. They don't want to, do it for you, because then somebody else will come back and say, well, you did it for him. And that's the reason why they handle these situations the way that they handle them, because they don't want to pay anybody. That's what, if it's true, that's what makes this Julio Jones story so unique, that the Atlanta Falcons just said, okay, fine. If you want more money after we just signed you to a deal, that's cool. We'll give you more money. That's why, I mean, honestly, I'm sitting down like Johnny Bench. I'm waiting to see what's going to happen. I'm waiting to see if the Falcons are really going to honor that, and if this is a true story. Because teams don't operate like that, John. Teams do not just say, okay, we're going to drop the way that we usually handle business and just pay you some more money because you're not happy with the contract that you just signed a couple years ago. Granted, you are one of the best receivers in the game, no question about that, but you signed this deal, and at the time that you signed it, you were cool. But now, since you're not happy with it, okay, fine. We're going to put Grady Jarrett's deal on hold, and we're going to put Jake Matthews' deal on hold, and we're going to get you done first. I mean, realistically, it doesn't happen like that. And if it does, then, God bless him. God bless Julio and the Falcons, and, we make a Super Bowl run. But normally it does not happen like that.
We're going to have a lot of news coming out of Atlanta, because, all those big guns from the NFL, from Roger Goodell through all the owners are here for these meetings in Buckhead, and that also means that all the media is here. The Rappaports, the Schefters, all those people, the world are going to be here and part of that, and they'll be tweeting out all the breaking news today and tomorrow, and certainly we'll be covering it on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Also talking about some of the other issues, the Brady issue itself. One thing about Joel Corey, who's a CBS Sports analyst and former agent, and is their salary cap and salary contract expert, told us that he expects that Aaron Rodgers will get a new deal right before training camp, and about $2 million a year more than Matt Ryan. As to Tom Brady, this is really kind of an interesting situation. What do the New England Patriots do with Tom Brady? I mean, at his age, they don't really have an heir apparent. Again, the backups right now are Brian Hoyer and Danny Etling. That's what they got. So they don't really have an heir apparent. They're not grooming anybody. The end of an era is going to come.
Paying.
Man, I don't know.
Really don't. I mean,
what other option do you have?
Tom Brady knew what he was doing. When they got rid of Jimmy Garoppolo, when he didn't want to let Jimmy Garoppolo in, TB12 or whatever it was, he called it. They knew what they were doing. Because he wanted to play. And Bob Kraft put him in a position where if he wanted to, he could hamstring his team. Now, Tom Brady's come out and said that he's going to play this year. He's not at training camp, but he has come out and said he is going to play this year. It might be a situation where it might not be as pressing for him to play at a high level. I think I'm reaching with that one a little bit, because I cannot see just Tom Brady just mailing it in for the 2018 season. I do not see that. But I think that for him being 40, that his priorities have switched a little bit. His kids are a little bit older. He's probably want to spend more time with his family. And he's like, hey, man, I know this offense. And maybe that's one of the reasons why he's not there. I can run this offense in my sleep.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that's why he's not there.
One other little quick NFL story. Boy, they're more bizarre story than Richie Incognito. who retires, quits, comes back, quits, retires. I don't even know what's going on. Comes out and says, you know, I've got liver problems that are serious. I've got kidney problems that are serious. My agent, I'm firing my agent, which he did on social media. Then he says, oh, my health is going down the tubes. I got to retire. And suddenly turns around and goes, yeah, you know what? Maybe I won't retire. Why don't you trade me? What in the world is going on with Richie Incognito? This is a bizarre, well, he's a bizarre dude. We all know that. He was bizarre in high school, bizarre at college at Nebraska, bizarre in the locker room with Miami. He's just a strange, he's a great player, but he's a strange dude. I don't even know what to make of this. Now he wants to play again? I want to see if somebody offers him.
I don't know, but I don't know if he wants to play again, but he's been cut, so he's out there on the free market right now. This is just a bizarre story with him talking about, you know, he was tired of the game and that he's having his liver and kidneys are shutting down and all this other good stuff. I think he just sounds a little bit confused. I don't know if it's mental health issues or anything like that, but he needs to go talk to somebody because all of this came about after he took a $1.7 million pay cut from the Buffalo Bills. So I don't know. Maybe he just needs to sit down and talk to somebody and just figure out where his head's at, because this story is very – when you read it, John, it's very, very confusing, and the way that he handled it is very, very confusing, because I remember in one story they said that he told Buffalo to talk to his agent after he fired his agent. So it's really bizarre.
It is bizarre. Richie Incognito in high school, comes out of high school in Arizona as, they said, the best offensive lineman ever to play in high school. That was the big tout about him. Well, you know what? He's actually been pretty darn good. I don't know if he's the best ever. He's not, but pretty darn good.
He's had a little checkered pass because there were, you know, those allegations against the defensive lineman from Jacksonville who said he was using racial slurs. And he was under investigation for that. But the last that I heard, that they, before they played Jacksonville in the playoffs, that they had resolved that issue that those two guys
had. And the Jonathan Martin thing down in the locker room in Miami, too.
Yeah, a little bit of hazing. A little bit of hazing was going on.
Yeah, Rich is a different kind of cat. Hey, we want you to join us for the 5th annual 92.9 The Game Celebrity Golf Classic. It's Wednesday, June 6th. But it's not just any golf classic. No, we're going to go to Topgolf and do a little target golf, which means all those celebrities, Grady Jarrett's presenting it, like Brian Jordan and Vic Beasley and Spoon and Tegea Spikes and Harry Douglas, Ray Lewis, Sean Williams, Derek Shelby, more and more and more. All these guys are going to be there, and we're all going to be all together, not spread out on a course. And we want you to go to 92.9thegame.com and get your golf on and join us. Sign up to hit golf balls with us at Topgolf and do a little target golf. It's Wednesday, June 6th. It's going to be a lot of fun with the entire station. All right, some of the stories that we missed include the Wendy Zone. She'll have it all, and we'll do that next on The Morning Show with John and Hugh.
All right, everybody stand up!
It's time for a look at the world of sports, celebrities, and more. This is The Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Well, did you guys watch it last night?
No, we did not. I was watching the Braves.
What's that, Dancing with the Stars?
Yeah, Dancing with the Stars. It was the finale. You especially should have been watching.
What, did Tonya Harding win?
You had two contestants in it because you picked Tonya Harding and Josh Norman, and I had one contestant, Adam Rippon. And, John, did you bring that $1,750 each for me and Hugh?
Wait a second. Remind me again. That was for what?
That was because me and Hugh had the first contestants to be eliminated, and you said if it was not one of your contestants, you would add $10 onto that $25.
Okay, I got you.
So I said me and Hugh would split the $35.
Wait, who was Hugh's contestant who was eliminated?
Oh, man, why do you have to do this to me, John?
I thought we only had two. We had three?
Don't worry about it.
Everyone had two contestants each.
Well, then Hugh still got two in it, so how did he get one?
Oh, wait, then Daryl must have had Josh Norman.
Yeah, I think it was Daryl.
Okay, then Daryl had Josh Norman.
Yeah.
John, why do you have to confuse me on the air?
Because you asked, and I was just trying to get clarity.
He ain't trying to pay that debt, when it ain't going to happen.
I know.
Good luck.
We're never going to see that $1,750.
Yeah,
it's okay, but
that.
We could see our $10 to the restaurant of our choice, because this was the winner of last night's Dancing with the Stars.
Adam and Jenna, Josh and Sharna, Tonya and Sasha, the winners and champions of Dancing with the Stars athletes are Adam and Jenna.
So that would be you.
That would be me. So why don't you just add $10 onto that and just round up to $30.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Good luck.
We're not rounding up. Not What do you check out girl at the Kroger?
Yes,
I'm not
I'm
rounding
go
up to anything.
I'm going to go pull the audio.
No.
I'm collecting on this. I picked the correct contestant, so he was my first pick in the draft, and I had the last pick of the first round.
Congratulations,
thanks.
Wendy.
Thank you.
You want to bet that you're never going to see.
I'm never going to see.
You're never going to see that money.
Well, it was a four week show this time around. Dancing with the Stars is usually a lot longer than
this. I missed all 4 weeks, darn.
Okay, y'all are awesome. I'm so glad I'm back.
That's not me, Wendy. That would be John.
Hey, the one question I would have out of this, though, because it is interesting to me, mm-hmm. And if you haven't seen I, Tonya, it is really a remarkable. I think it's a great film and really gives you a different impression of her. Did she kind of, reinvent herself in this event? Did she come out of this really a winner?
I think people had more empathy from watching her, and she spoke even more about her life and just seemed more humanized, I guess, is for lack of better words. What are you laughing at, Hugh?
No, because nothing. I don't want to get in trouble. Yes,
Hugh,
I do.
Yes, you do.
Yeah, every time I think of Ty, I think of that terrible porno she made with her husband.
Oh, God.
That was like
I think
worst.
You're the only person in the room that's
I am
seen
not
it.
The only person that's seen it. Somebody else saw that.
No.
It is
not
like
me.
The worst.
No.
No.
No one,
I ain't talking
no
about. I'm
here.
Talking about in the masses.
No.
Bo watched it. He ain't said nothing.
Bo hadn't watched it. Bo, have you watched it?
No, I have not. Thank you. I could only say that I hadn't if Wendy directly asked me. So no.
Bo no one has watched it, Hugh. Hugh, you are alone.
No, Bo lies. Bo is lying.
Why would he lie?
Because it's your friend.
Because you're stuttering. Because you're the only person that's seen it in America.
Bo watched it. Bo watched
Hugh,
it.
Don't think that I've seen it just because I'm Whiskey Tango a little bit and she's hardcore Whiskey Tango.
No. Bo, you watched it for show prep. You wanted to see what it was.
What?
You wanted to see what it was hitting for.
Show prep before the Dancing with the Stars?
No, I'm just saying. Everybody, like, you. Some everybody watched it at one point because you just wanted to see.
No, I didn't watch it at
any point. Well, John Freaky, you don't really count because you don't do what other people do. So, yeah, I ain't the only one that watched I, Tonya. I ain't the only one that watched Tonya Harding perform outside the skating rink.
Yeah. You did a lot of stutter. I think you watched that tape more than once.
It was a terrible performance.
Now you're critiquing it.
Boo!
That means you saw it more than once.
You know what? On the scale, it was like if Kim Kardashian's tape was the worst, then Tonya Harding was right there. They were like side to side. It was like
I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Let's move on to something not related to it because it's an easy transition. Well, tickets for LeVar Ball's JBA League went on sale yesterday. Predictably, fans can expect to pay NBA-caliber prices to watch a far worse product than the NBA because the JBA, which features LaMelo Ball and no top 100 recruits as an alternative to the NCAA, will hold its opening session. It's going to be on June 21st in Ontario, California. Tickets for that session start at $40 and go to as much as $99 before ticket fees. So that's how much you are paying to watch a JBA game. The two-game session in Houston also has ticket prices that range from $35 each, but in order to get the $35 tickets, you have to have a group of 15 or more, and those go to
$99. Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think those are, and that's not happening.
So even G League teams have sold their tickets in the $10 range. And according to the father of one JBA player, Kizo Brown, LeVar Ball's league will also pocket 40% of all player endorsements.
I tell you what, LeVar Ball is unapologetically price gouging folks.
Like, and the guys
real.
In his league taking 40% out of their pocket for any kind of endorsement.
Listen, like, I don't know. I read a report the other day that some people waited a year just to get those the LeVar Ball shoes. A year. He is trying to get all the money in one shot, and he is not ashamed of throwing it out there like that. Really.
Anybody in here paying that much money to go watch a JBA league game?
Not at all.
$40 minimum.
No.
I'd rather watch the WNBA than to watch the JBA league. I'd rather do that.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that the WNBA is bad. I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying I'd rather watch the girls play.
Not sure.
The women. Excuse me. Women.
Free tickets to the JBA.
No, or at least $5.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.